Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time to shake off the memory of school, lose the remote control under the couch, and launch your family into the great outdoors of South Dakota. Lynn Spomer is a division staff specialist with the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department. She joins us to talk about Great Outdoors Month from Pier. Lynn Spomer, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to the beginning of this. Great Outdoors Month, Governor Dugard proclamation.
Yes, every year we always try to put a proclamation in. And basically what it does is it just really encourages people to get outside, get out from sitting behind that screen or working at your computer during the day, and to get outside and really enjoy life.
So far, all I've been able to do is take my screen outside, which I don't think is quite what you have in mind. So give us some tips on how we can sort of, you know, as we're still dizzy from work, engage in the outdoors.
Sure. You know, we have a lot of things, especially in our state parks, that people can do to engage in the outdoors. One of the things that we did this year was our Go Forth program, where every fourth grader in the state of South Dakota got a free park entrance license, a day pass into a state park just to explore someplace new. And then with that also comes a free rental of a canoe, kayak, paddleboard. And our whole goal behind that is for them to try something new in the outdoors. But we have a lot of other activities. I mean, after work, you can go hiking. You can go biking in a state park. We've got a lot of trails that people can use. You can go horseback riding, for that fact. And then we have a lot of programs that are going on in the state parks during the summertime. One of the ones that we have coming up is our Becoming an Outdoor Family program, which is going to be down at Lewis and Clark here in a couple weeks. And if those are things that you're interested in, I would really encourage people to get onto our Game, Fish, and Parks website and look at our calendars, and it'll tell you how you can sign up for all of those classes and what the classes are across any of our parks throughout the entire summer.
Do you have any sense of the distance between most families and a state park, and how many are there? How close are they really to us so that we can access them easily?
Sure. You know, we have 65 state parks in the state of South Dakota. You know, any of those parks are either next to a small town, or, you know, the larger towns, Rep City, Sioux Falls, Aberdeen, Watertown. There are parks within a 20-minute radius of all of those areas as well. Some of our other ones are smaller. You know, we've got Shade Hill, which is out by Lemon, South Dakota. But yet it still gives those people that live in those small communities an opportunity to attend a state park. And then, of course, you've got places like Custer State Park, which is just a huge vacation destination. So anybody who's traveling and taking that day off in the state of South Dakota and wants to stay in their own home state, we have a lot of those opportunities as well.
I was out in Custer the other week, and boy, I mean, every license plate from every state in the nation is in the town of Custer right now, I think.
Yes, and you know, we even have people from out of country that attend Custer State Park. A lot of people from Germany and China, and it's just a great opportunity to go and see the outdoors all in one spot. You can see the buffalo, you can see prairie dogs, you can see elk. So those are all a unique opportunity for some of those people, and even for people in our own state that have never seen those things.
Let's talk about those families who maybe need, and obviously there's so many South Dakotans who just live outdoors and they've been hunting and fishing and hiking and climbing since infancy. But let's talk to for a moment to those families who maybe aren't, you know, don't have that tradition in their family. When you talk about becoming an outdoors family, what are some of those first steps? What will you be teaching at that program?
Sure. At Becoming an Outdoor Family, what we try to do is to really give families that first chance of learning something, things that they can do as a family that are easy to do anytime that you go to a state park. So it's kind of like that lesson number one. And depending on the park that we're in, we'll do anything from teaching them how to build a campfire and doing outdoor cooking, to learning how to do some kayaking and paddleboarding, to learning about our shooting ranges that are in the parks, so that they can eventually go on to maybe step number two, which is taking a more in-depth classes that we have throughout the state, you know, at our outdoor campuses that we have, or even more in-depth classes that we're holding at some of our state parks.
Do you have a sense, Lynn, that you're a part of your responsibility or your role through GF&P is to sort of preserve that outdoor heritage and pass it on to South Dakotans who, you know, maybe didn't have it in their family background?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of our big strategic goals, is just to really preserve that, to showcase it to people who may not know a lot about it. You know, I have three small children of my own, and one of the things that I really try to do is to get them into the outdoors and to showcase to them why it's important to preserve what we have, because if we don't, it's not going to be there for future generations.
What are some of those lessons about caring for the space, you know, once you enter it, that you think are really important to talk to families about?
You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is leaving it the way you find it, picking up your trash. You know, the other thing, this time of year, especially with all of the young babies being born in the environment, a lot of people think that, you know, deer, they find a fawn or a little rabbit, and they think that their parents have left them behind, when really they haven't. They're hiding them so that they can go out and gather food for them. And so it's just important to know about how nature plays a role certain times of the years, how animals function within that environment, so that we can all do the protection that we need, both not only for the land, but for the animals and for the people that are there.
You mentioned earlier canoeing, kayaking, paddle boarding. What's the condition of our water, in the sense that, I mean, when you go to a state park and you get on the water, do you need to know anything about the health of the water before you swim in it, paddleboard in it, fall off your paddleboard into the water? Are there precautions that we need to take, or places we need to check before we really get in the water?
You know, that's one thing that our state parks do very well on our public beaches. It is not mandatory by the state any longer, but we as a state park division have taken it upon ourselves to test our beach waters, and we do that once a week. And so if there is a health concern or a caution, we are very upfront with our public, and then we will retest it and keep retesting it until that water is safe for our customers to go in. So the biggest thing I would tell people is just make sure that you stay abreast of what's happening. If you go to a certain park a lot, or one that you want to go to, friend them on Facebook. They are very open on their Facebook pages. They'll tell you what's going on in those parks. But then, you know, as you're there, any water safety is always important. You know, bring your life jackets, make sure you have your sunscreen, and bring water along. So, you know, just those common safety practices are also very important.
You know, that's a conversation we have every year, is about safety. But until you really had, I tried paddleboarding last summer, maybe, and went out in the middle of lake, thought, I don't need a life jacket, but I took one anyway, and was standing up, and I don't know, I got dizzy, I got something happened, and I was in the drink. And I was
exactly.
I was all by myself. And then all of a sudden you have that moment where you think, that was the dumbest thing I've probably ever done. So I don't think we can talk about safety too much in a way.
That's exactly right. I think, you know, accidents happen, and they are always at the most unexpected time. And so that's why it's always important to have those life jackets along. It's something that I stress. You know, my husband takes all three of our girls fishing out on the boat, and you don't think much of it, but, you know, somebody runs into you, you hit a sandbar, you know, something happens, and it's not something that you expect. And so having taking those safety precautions before you even head out on the water is always important.
I think the only reason I wore a life jacket is because I wanted to set an example for my daughter. And
yep.
I'm so glad I did. I don't know what would have happened.
Great.
I'll never forget that. How about rock climbing and some of those safety precautions, as we, you know, hear stories of injuries? And I think there was recently a death at Devil's Tower in Wyoming. For folks who want to get into that climbing culture, what are the ways that they sort of, you know, begin doing that in a safe and responsible manner?
So as far as rock climbing, especially in our state parks, the first thing you always need to do is to check with our parks. We only have two parks that currently offer that right now, and they're both through concessionaires, one at Palisades State Park and the other one out at Custer State Park. It's not something that we teach within the state park system, but it's something that's very popular. And so, like I said, the biggest thing to do is to check with your park managers, make sure that it's okay to do that in the locations that you are wanting to do it, and then they will provide you with the rules and regulations for their state parks.
How about hidden gems? Are there certain state parks that you think maybe not enough people know about, but would love if they checked it out?
Oh, I think there definitely is. And you know, we have a lot of state park managers who are like, don't tell anybody.
Right. Okay. Maybe not.
But, you know, I think it really depends on what you like to do. You know, if you like to go hiking, you know, and you're down by Sioux Falls, Newton Hills is an awesome place to get off the grid, right, to go in, out in their back hiking trails. Same way with Custer State Park. I mean, I know it's an extremely busy park, but there are so many trails that you can go out on and see something really unique. And then you've got places, you know, if your family, you know, you have a lot of family, you want to do things with the kids. Of course, you have places like Pearson Ranch. You know, everybody seems to go to Lewis and Clark, but Pearson Ranch is an awesome place to take your family as a kid because they've got soccer courts and tennis and basketball. So that it's more of a well-rounded type park. And then you've got places like Union Grove that are a very small park that, you know, if you like to go out on horseback, they've got some awesome horseback scenes and trails. But then we also have just golf courses at Owyhee Downstream. So every park has its uniqueness to it. And I think you just got to find and figure out what you want to do.
Is there sailing in South Dakota? Do we have, you know, small sailboats on the water places?
You know, the one place that we see that is down at Lewis and Clark. They've got what they call Hobie Cats. And that's the place that we probably see them the most. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the website a little bit. If you're just tuning in, Lynn Spomer, Division Staff Specialist with South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks, and we're just giving you the sort of overview on everything you can do and how you can engage with state parks in South Dakota this summer. Tell me about the website. You mentioned following it on Facebook. Let's talk about camping reservations and just how South Dakota citizens and visitors can sort of use that website to figure out what they want to do next.
Sure. You know, on our Game, Fish, and Parks website, we're in the process. We're going to be rolling out some new things later on in the year. But right now we have a wonderful calendar that people can go on. They can search for dates that they want to go to any of our parks or locations and find out what's happening on those weekends. You know, it'll tell you everything you need to know, from reservation prices to what each park has to offer. But as far as the state parks go, if you want to go camping, campsd.com is our reservation campsite website. And people are going to be really loving it come this fall. We are in the final design stages of our responsive website. We know we've had some issues with people making reservations with cell phones and tablets and things like that. So we have been going through an extensive research design phase and are really excited to push that responsive website out later this fall. And then with that, there's going to be, you know, just some easier things when you're making reservations, some easier drop-down buttons and things like that. So those are all new things that are coming down the line. But in the meantime, you know, if you have issues, if you have concerns, don't be afraid to give us a call, drop us an email. Use our 1-800 number. We have a ton of call center agents based out of Sioux Falls that are very active campers themselves, so they can answer a lot of questions.
Do you want to give us that number?
Sure, it's 1-800. Yeah, it's 1-800-710-2267.
All right, and one more thing, we better leave Lynn with a message for folks who are driving across the state, because as I mentioned, there are an awful lot of them out there. They've got their radios on. Anything you want them to know about their time in South Dakota?
I think the biggest thing is just, I always like to tell people to get off the grid. Go to some place you've never been before. Check out an area that you didn't think that you would ever find yourself at. And I think you'll be surprised at what South Dakota State Parks has to offer, especially in those little parks that you may have never heard of before.
And don't pet the buffalo.
Exactly. Don't pet the buffalo.
We're not joking. We're laughing, but we're not joking. Do not pet
the
buffalo.
They are not pets.
No. If you have a very good camera, you can take a photo from a distance. But no, this goes wrong every year for somebody. So that's our message to the folks driving through the state. Lynn Spomer, Division Staff Specialist with South Dakota GF&P. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.